Yeah, it's just watching the green screens over here. I suppose you are too, Steve Alexander. The Dow's up 229 points. The S&P is up as well. NASDAQ is up 133 points. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be able to enjoy this. You just keep thinking at some point the market is going to start taking it back. And I thought we had that earlier this week, but nah, we got it back and then some. We're going to finish the week on the plus side, aren't we?
Yes, yes. It was 725-point drop on the Dow on Monday, and we've made it all back and then some.
Yeah, and at one point they were down 900, and there I was going, I think this is a turning point. I think this is a switch, and I didn't know. And when I asked some smart people who are in the business, did you know it was going to go up? Did you know it was going to go down? Did you know it was going to go back up again? And I'm just speaking about this week. They said no. It would be a difficult business for me to be in if I was a financial advisor or some sort of analyst on whose fortunes, you know, hung my ability to see the markets. But I guess they know you just can't know. Your horizon has to be long enough. Your outlook has to be broad enough that you'll see the big picture. But nobody can pick the market on a day-to-day basis anymore.
Nah.
Not that maybe they ever could.
It's for the long run, John.
But you'd think you'd see a 900-point swing coming or then the correction coming, and that's not so easy to do. The Dow is up 0.3% on the week and sits less than 1% from its record high after bouncing back from that 700-point-plus route that you talked about on Monday.
Yeah, S&P made it another record high today, above 4,400.
I want to go back in time and get a lot of money and put it in all of these things, and then I'd be really rich.
Yeah.
But as they say, if you just dollar cost average, don't try and be a genius. Just try and get what you can in the market every month, and then you will be one. Let's talk a little bit to Craig Bolanos, who is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG is the website.com. Hi, Craig. How are you?
John, perfect. Hey, great to be back. What are you going to do? Apparently, there's some gremlins in the phone system today.
Here, I was talking about how difficult your job is, but look how tough mine is. We've got a lot of moving parts over here. But let's go back to you for a second. You know, we were just kind of laughing at how the market was up and down and up and down today, and how if I was in the business of trying to forecast or advise people on that, how difficult or strenuous it must be, Craig.
You know what? It is tough going. There is no doubt about that. And best as people try, the magic eight ball doesn't always come out right. But as I've heard throughout your program, I mean, here we are in the second half of the year. And once again, any of these pullbacks have been met with what I call the buy the dip mentality. You know, you've got the 50-day moving average continuing to hold itself. Corporate America, solid earnings thus far. We may even have a chance of being up 80% year over year on the earnings side, buybacks in full swing. I even heard rumors of bipartisan support for the first part of a infrastructure bill. And at the end of the day, that leads to some advice, which is this: don't panic and don't sell, especially when the market gets punched in the gut. We should be using any of these headlines of the volatility, the Delta variant, to take stock of doing what we should all be doing, which is simply rebalancing our portfolio to accomplish our short and long-term goals.
Yeah, so what's the rebalance look like? I mean, you sound like there's a lot of opportunity still there. You're aggressive, huh?
Well, you know, when we spoke the last time, you know, we discussed that how nothing seems to be able to knock this market down. And I don't know that I want to use the word aggressive. I would much rather use the word assertive. And I think what everybody needs to continue to appreciate is stimulus is linked with asset prices. We see it in housing. We definitely see it in equity markets. And when you've got a $5 trillion wall, that's what we've done thus far in terms of stimulus making its way through the system, there's always risk. Because after all, John, aliens could invade Los Angeles tomorrow. By the way, they only invade L.A. But I think for the time being, people need to continue to have this risk-on posture where they lean into stocks. And in particular, I just want to make sure people are playing both sides of the equation, what I call the value and the reopening stocks, and continuing to focus on what's worked, again, very well here just in the last 6 weeks, which is leaning into enterprise technology, because I think you need to have both in your portfolio.
What's enterprise technology? What are companies in that group?
Well, you know, it's so many different industries. And when I think about enterprise technology, you know, I'm really thinking of what I call content management. Everybody at work who's listening to our program right now has a CRM, a customer relationship management system that's out there. And there's some great stocks in that area. We can talk about everything that supports that CRM in terms of enterprise tech, whether it be companies like Cisco, companies like Oracle, and those big cloud providers.
Yeah.
Azure, which is supported by Microsoft, and of course, don't forget the behemoth on the block, AWS, Amazon Web Services, courtesy of Amazon.
So, you're,
so that just gives you an idea as to enterprise technology.
Right, but that's not the tech stocks per se then. Are you still bullish on that sector as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, clients, investors of all shapes and sizes, they want to pay for growth. And if someone said in the second half of the year, are we staring at more opportunity in the arena of, say, consumer staple, or is there going to be more opportunity in the arena of technology where companies are able to rapidly scale their sales and then translate that into earnings? I think tech needs to continue to be represented in everyone's portfolio. So, yes, you can tell by my tone, I remain optimistic, John.
Do you think inflation's been overstated?
Oh, the most overword, but John, I used it in my Scrabble game with my mother 2 weeks ago. The most overused in the overused word in the English dictionary is transitory. So do I think inflation's been overstated? Well, I don't want to deny it because let's be honest. I mean, how bad is the used car market? How much are energy prices up? How much are food prices up? I see all of these, but I think it comes down to the three P's. It's people, leading to the production of products. And what I talk about at the Wealth Management Group is come Halloween, I'm really hopeful that more people will get back into the workforce. I'm hopeful that with kids all across America getting back into school after Labor Day, some of the child care starts to work itself out. And there may or may not be, once we end that enhanced unemployment, that might also provide some additional incentive. So I do think come October, we get more people in the pipeline, which is ultimately going to help the supply chain. So, yes, I'm in the camp right now with the Fed where inflation is likely to be transitory.
Do you think that when the employees do go back, they will be going back to either better circumstances or better pay?
Well, there's obviously been wage pressure. There's no doubt about that, and we definitely have seen that on what I call, you know, hourly wages. But if you were to say, do I think people are going to be going back into better environments? Well, now it's a question of what is a better environment when we see it through the lens of different people. I do believe there's going to be a permanent move to some level of a hybrid work environment, and a lot of people are clamoring for that and desiring for that. But I also do know this. Given the difficulties that have been there and given the charges that companies have had to take, I think people are going to be asked to carry a heavy load. So I do think when people re-engage back into the workforce, there might be some improvements, but people are going to be right back in the fire where they're being asked to do an awful lot. So that was a wishy-washy answer, John.
No, I get it.
I think it's just going to depend.
But I think the second part of that is really telling. What advice do you have for parents or parents who have the child tax credit advance? They not only got it as payment each month starting this month or next month in August, but it's actually enhanced as well. They're actually getting more. What advice do you have for them as they're getting these deposits into their accounts?
Well, real briefly, John, just in case anybody missed it, there are Americans all across this country, moms and dads. Some are getting $300 a month per kid. Some are getting $250. Some are getting $167. And my advice, first of all, is this. If you believe you are entitled to the money, you need to go out to the government portal and ensure that you're getting your rightful share. Number two, if you're getting the money based off of a tax return that is no longer reflective of your current situation because maybe your income was low because of a layoff, because of a furlough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your income is back up because you've reacclimated to the workforce, you might just want to go on to the government portal and stop getting that monthly deposit because this is something the IRS is going to ask you back for if you didn't qualify it. And then number three, for everybody else, let's use this as an opportunity to do what we should always do, which is run a zero-based budget, do whatever we can to get out of credit card debt, unsecured debt, build an emergency fund, and then use these deposits to help secure our kids' education or secure our finances. That's what I want moms and dads to be focused on.
Do I understand correctly, Craig, you don't pay taxes on that, but if, in fact, you're taking this money now, you're not going to be able to claim it as a you're not going to get the deduction next year, and you may end up owing taxes. So you have to sort of be mindful of what you're doing with this money.
That's exactly right, John. You nailed it on the head. It's just about awareness. These payments, the refundable child tax credit, which has been expanded under the American Rescue Plan. We're going to see if the expansion gets renewed for 2022. We'll find out about this fall. But yes, everybody should just know what the adjusted gross income limits are. Understand where their income is going to be, because I don't want someone spending money that might not be rightfully theirs, a.k.a. money they might have to pay back. And yes, if you're now getting half of your tax credit, not when you do your return, but you're getting it paid to you July through December over 6 months of this year, are you being properly withheld at work? You could end up owing some money, and that'll also be disappointing to many tax filers.
It's 1225. Craig Bolanos is on a phone line, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. When we started this conversation, you were very optimistic about where the markets are going. Dr. Bob Frelick's been on this show with us, and he thinks, and he said this at the beginning of the year, that we will be over 4,000 on the Dow by the year's end, or 40,000. Do you share that kind of optimism?
I think Dr. Bob is fantastic. He's always been very, very bullish in all the years I have known him. And I think a lot of it, this is just simple mathematics. I think if you could have $205 of earnings on the S&P, that's what we focus on. You take a forward-looking PE of 21.5, that gets you at least $44.50 on the S&P. Could be a little bit higher, depending on what level of infrastructure spending we see. But I think Dr. Bob could be right. You could print 5,000 more points, but I think that's going to be a little bit tougher. That's why I gave you the numbers I just did on the S&P instead, John.
Got it. What do you think about this infrastructure bill? How much is it going to be? Do we care about what it's going to cost down the road? How's it going to get spent?
Well, I think everybody should ultimately care about cost. You know, for every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I really hope, I think, you know, what I see is bipartisan support is there for old school infrastructure, roads, bridges, et cetera. Whether we're going to have this human infrastructure as a second bill that comes along, it's yet to be determined. But I know one thing hasn't been missed on investors, whether it's in real estate, whether it's in the financial markets, asset prices are supported by stimulus. So give us some additional infrastructure. I think that's an additional tailwind going into the second half of the year.
We done with stimulus? Are we going to see any more of that?
Hard-pressed. If you're asking me, will the Fed be doing what they've been telling us they're going to do, which is start to end some of the monetary stimulus, that's the bond taper. If you ask me, are we going to have an additional round of what I call stimulus checks? Are people going to get $1,200, $600, $1,400? I'm hard-pressed to believe there is any more of that type of fiscal stimulus left in the pipeline. I think we're getting to the point, once we're past infrastructure, that the economy going to have to stand on its own two legs, and then the entire kit and caboodle comes to a discussion of interest rates and inflation. That'll be the ultimate demising line in the sand when we start looking at 2022 and 2023.
Give me a short answer to this, though, but enhanced unemployment or stimulus checks to individuals, do you think that we don't need that anymore either, that the economy and jobs can recover on their own?
You know, it's interesting. There's been some studies relative to, I think there's about 12 states that have already pulled out of the enhanced unemployment prior to its expiration, and there is mixed results in those 12 states. It does not clearly indicate that it's caused people to go back to work.
So I understand.
But if you ask me, what do I think? I think we're going to let the enhanced unemployment of 300 a week play its way out through the end of September. I don't think it's going to get renewed. I do believe with kids going back to school, I do believe hopefully with more people getting vaccinated over time, that we are going to put people back to work and hence not renew those programs. But I would like to see whatever is in place play its way out through the end of September.
Craig Balanos is the co-founder and CEO at Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. Real interesting, Craig. Thanks for your time today.
Great to be back with you, John.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for dialing in. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman is the producer. In about 10 minutes, we'll visit with the culture and media reporter from Business Insider about things you can learn from Ted Lasso to run your business better. And she has some very specific ideas. Karen Hohen, a little bit. Right now, we're talking to Marianne Huell. She's the president and CEO of Union League Boys and Girls Clubs in Chicago. ULBGC.org is the website. I'll do that again in a minute. Marianne, welcome to the show. You're on WGN.
Well, John, thank you. It's great to be here with you.
I understand. And the good news is you guys have a scholarship program, which sounds very robust. More kids on the South and West Side are getting a lot of money to go to school, right?
Yes, absolutely. At the Union League Boys and Girls Clubs, the scholarship program is one of our flagship programs. And just this past year, we awarded $161,000 to 48 of our Boys and Girls Club members here at the Union League Boys and Girls Clubs.
We got kids at Northwestern, at UIC, at IIT, et cetera.
Yes, absolutely. The city colleges, four-year universities. And these scholarships are funded through various board members and donors and friends. And it's just an extra program for our youth because we service children ages 6 to 18. And this is one program, as the youth are leaving our programs, that they can qualify for a Union League Boys and Girls Club scholarship.
And without belaboring the obvious, you know, if we're going to help the South and West Sides with all of the problems that they're going through, education has to be one of the main legs, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because here at the Union League Boys and Girls Club, we provide holistic, enriching, and fun programs to youth ages 6 to 18, and we focus in on the three pillars. And you mentioned one, the academic success, but then we also have good charactership and leadership and citizenship, and along with healthy lifestyles to ensure our youth are developing into well-rounded members at their time during at the club.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that education and the scholarships are one of the big things that you do. What else does the Union League Boys and Girls Clubs do?
We have so many programs for our youth. We have homework help programs, tutoring, robotics, dance classes, sports such as basketball, soccer, lacrosse. We have STEM programs. There's something for everyone at our Boys and Girls Club. And you know, John, the youth that attend our clubs, they're the youth that need programs the most. We serve the youth in the neighborhoods with the highest hardship index in Chicago. So we're just very happy to be there and to provide the hope and opportunity for over 15,000 youth here in Chicago.
Where are these kids located?
Our programs are located throughout the city of Chicago. We have 19 locations. We're in Humboldt Park, Bucktown, Westtown, Pilsen, Little Village, Archer Heights, Back of the Yards, Inglewood. It's just our 19 facilities provide such wonderful programs for the youth that need us most.
Seven new sites. Did I read about new clubs as well?
Yes, absolutely. The Union League Boys and Girls Club was awarded a $7 million grant from the Nita Loren 21st Century Program, and we're so excited to be opening up seven new sites. We have a soft launch right now where we're offering programs this summer, but we'll have some great ribbon-cutting ceremonies, and we'll be doing that this fall.
How are you going to do that? Are you going to build new buildings, or are you going to move into existing structures?
Actually, we have a wonderful partnership with the Chicago Public Schools, and we're going into the local schools because currently right now we offer programs at 5 high schools and 10 grammar schools. We have 2 standalone clubs, and we're just excited to be able to expand our services and provide more hope and more opportunity to youth.
There's so much enthusiasm in your voice. I haven't heard anybody speak with this kind of optimistic energy about the South and West Side in a long time, Marianne.
I'm so excited because, you know, for us to be able to continue our strategic plan, which is called Great Futures 2025, I have a very, very engaged board and board leadership, and we wanted to make sure that we continue to do what we do best. I mean, we've been around for over 100 years. I'm not 100, but we've been around providing programs and just being able to add these 7 new sites and serve an additional 700 youth. It's so rewarding.
And you've come up through the program. I mean, you know about what you speak, right?
Absolutely. I was what they call a club kid many, many years ago. I've spent the past 4 decades in the Boys and Girls Club movement, and it's the reason why I've stayed so long is because I truly believe in the mission.
And do you believe in the kids? I want you to just close with a comment about that, that you are in these neighborhoods interacting with these young people that we worry about and even fear. What do you see when you see kids coming into these facilities?
John, as I said earlier, I see so much hope and opportunity in their eyes. You know, when I look back at, you know, the start of the pandemic, you know, we were closed for a few weeks, but then we immediately opened up our facilities because we realized that the youth needed us most. You know, we pivoted, we served meals, we offered virtual programs, we had educational care packages. And I remember looking in the eyes of one of the members when we opened up in June 2020. And she said to me this was the best day of her life when her Boys and Girls Club opened up for in-person programs.
The website is ulbgc.org. Remember, Union League Boys and Girls Clubs.org, and you'll have it. Marianne, what can we do for you? What do you want our listeners to do or know?
I want our listeners to know that at the Union League Boys and Girls Club, we appreciate everything that you do for us, your continued support, the many Chicago-based companies that support the Union League Boys and Girls Club. I just want to give a heartfelt thanks to say thank you again from the bottom of my heart for your continued support.
ULBGC.org, Union League Boys Girls Club.org. Marianne, keep doing what you're doing. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Marianne Hules is the president and CEO there. Lucky them. 1243 on WGN. More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Amazon's increasing its footprint in the northern suburbs. The company has leased industrial space in Waukegan and expects to employ hundreds of people at a fulfillment center there. It's a 501,000-square-foot building at 3940 South Lakeside Drive in the Bridgeport North Industrial Park. Amazon also recently agreed to lease a warehouse in Huntley and is expected to employ more than 1,000 full-time workers when it opens there next year. In addition, the company has bought sites in Gage Park and Humboldt Park in Chicago for new warehouses. Lou Malnati's is moving its headquarters to Buffalo Grove. The company's offices, manufacturing, and fulfillment operations will now be under one roof. The company is set to move into the 125,000-square-foot facility at 900 Bush Parkway next spring. Right now, Lou Malnati's operations are spread around the Chicago area in multiple buildings. Its headquarters is currently in Northbrook, where it's been for about 20 years. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, looking forward to the business of Ted Lasso, too. Let's begin with today's Farm to Your Belly feature, Johnny. It's National Vanilla Ice Cream Day, rated as America's favorite ice cream. Chocolate is number 2. Jim Fizzell is America's favorite gardening guru. Hi, Mr. Fizz.
Hi, Steve. It's time to talk about gardening. He and I love to do that, as you know.
Yes, we do. And it's still too dry, isn't it, Jim?
Yes, definitely that. We really need rain here, and some areas they had more than enough. I've never seen it so spotty as it is now, but I just got a notice from the Farm Bureau that most of the state of Illinois happens to be under moisture stress. And they said we really haven't had significant rains since the end of June, except in scattered locations. So that's really unusual.
Can you find a silver lining in this, Jim?
Well, I've never seen so few bugs, period. Just some aphids is all we've seen. Japanese beetles, I hear from one of my landscape contractors that they're around, but I haven't seen any as yet. and no foliage diseases. We have the vines from Wrigley Field actually grow on our back fence, and I use those as an indicator to the guys down there at Wrigley Field. When we start seeing leaf spotter stuff, I call them, tell them, go ahead and spray. No need this year because the foliage is spot-free. But where it's been wet, there are problems. Slugs and earwigs, which are not quite so common, but they do affect a lot of garden flowers and vegetables, particularly lettuce. If you're growing head lettuce and you get earwigs in there, they get down inside that head and they eat away. You pick that head of lettuce expecting to get some good produce, and it's not. And there are tons of mosquitoes and lots of leaf diseases, and leaf spots are rampant where there's plenty of rain, and of course weeds. The best thing to do with those is hoe them out before they get too big, or pull them out before they get gigantic and start making new seed for you.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. Chicago Board of Trade's got a red screen right now. Beans are down 12. Corn is off about 15. Wheat is down about 7.5 cents. Some beneficial weather across the Midwest could pump yields a little bit higher than what traders were expecting. And at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, pork and beef are up today, $1.50 higher for lean hogs and $1.65 for feeder cattle, about 50 cents higher for live cattle. That's your Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Do you watch Ted Lasso starring Jason Sudeikis? It's a comedy on Apple Plus TV, and it's interesting because the writer at Business Insider, insider.com, Karen Ho, describes it as a workplace comedy, which I guess it is true. That's a fair description of it. Karen, welcome to WGN. How are you today?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great.
I think this is a clever way to either talk about the show or talk about business. You say we can learn some business strategies, good management techniques from the show. Is that right?
I really do. I think it's a great example of non-toxic leadership, managing egos, and also dealing with incredible loss and incredible personal pain in the workplace with a lot of empathy and kindness.
Talk to me about the show for a minute. For those who aren't familiar with it, I've watched half of the first season. The new season drops tonight. I don't know if it drops. Do they drop the whole season or is it episodic? Do we see one at a time, one each week?
One at a time,
that's
unfortunately.
Right. Actually, I'm surprised that like the Netflixes of the world do drop entire seasons, because then you can plow through the whole thing in a weekend, in a night. Now, this kind of strings you along. To me, that's a better business model for the platforms. But anyway, new season starts tonight. Just tell us what the show is in short.
So just like sports, you can't watch an entire season of sports all at once. The show is essentially, it's premised on a series of NBC sports commercials when they first got the Premier League broadcast rights several mm-hmm. years ago. And what happened was Jason Sudeikis and Bill Lawrence, the beloved showrunner behind shows like Scrubs and many others, expanded the concept of a second-tier football coach from Kansas who knows nothing about European football to essentially take over and manage, a lower-level soccer team, European football team in the Premier League. And, that has struggled to win games and also succeed against other teams. And Ted Lasso, the namesake lead character, knows absolutely nothing about the game.
Yeah.
Nothing, down to the fact that it can end in draws, how long is the game, what is offside technical terms.
And one of the reasons that the owner hired him was because she didn't want the team to be successful. So she thought this was a guarantee that things would end badly, right?
Yes. She is unfortunately burned by her philandering ex-husband, and she inherits the team in the divorce. Her husband is also incredibly affluent, I think is alluded to being a billionaire. And in the divorce, she is given the team, which her ex-husband loves, and her intent originally is to destroy it through mismanagement.
So enter Ted Lasso, who knows nothing about European football, soccer, to the rest of us. So you say, though, he's actually able to manage the team pretty well. He learns as he goes. Let's just click through some of the work lessons that you think Ted teaches us. Learn people's names. Why did you include that?
There has been a lot of reporting about how, especially among Asian Americans, and also minorities, that there is, among executives and managers and leaders, there often is the mistake of not learning people's names,
yeah.
right? Mistaking staffers for other staffers, even if they look completely different, they're of different ethnicities, they're in different positions and teams or departments.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a basic sign of respect, or even learning how to pronounce people's names,
yeah.
right? Whether they be considered foreign names, unnecessarily giving people nicknames. I think learning someone's name, especially in a junior position, that doesn't seem important, right? We've heard that business case where they asked the receptionist what their impression was of the candidate,
yeah.
and if they asked for that receptionist's name or who the cleaning staff are. I think it's a basic sign of respect and acknowledgement, and people love to feel respected and acknowledged for their contribution at every level.
In the show, there's a scene in the first episode, I think it was, where the equipment manager gets bullied and Ted and company stand up for him, and you go, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm going to be short of time here. Let's go quickly. Give people a chance. What in the show plays out about that?
So junior staff are actually given abilities to demonstrate their knowledge of the game and their expertise and their skills,
oh, yeah.
particularly about what they know about the players and their and how even a strategy, like right, like a play put forward by the equipment manager. And then someone who initially seems very ditzy and is a stereotype in sports is recognized for her marketing savvy, her ability to navigate Twitter, you know, her communications expertise. And so she's given increasing responsibilities over the course of the season to help other players with her knowledge and organizing corporate brand deals.
Learn people's names, give people
yes.
a chance. Personal issues can affect work performance. Why do you put that in there?
I think especially with the pandemic, it was particularly timely to have a show demonstrate the impact of mental health and divorce or other, you know, significant life events. These are common occurrences. And for a long time, we were told that leaders should not bring it into the workplace, or it's something to handle at home. And the show demonstrates how empathy and kindness regarding an understanding about something as significant as a divorce
yeah.
can impact someone's performance.
Yeah, right. Lasso and the owner of the team. Have a trusted advisor without an ego and be willing to accept feedback. Yeah, it's interesting that the show kind of plays off of those business themes, doesn't it?
I think it's really smart and instructive. The writing is really great. You know, it hides a lot of this illustration and role modeling. And also, it's really fun, right? Like, it doesn't feel forced, a lot of these lessons. It just tries to, and it also shows how these little actions or comments can build mm-hmm. up over time. The impact can really build up and build loyalty and trust among lots of different people.
Karen Ho is a business, media, and culture reporter for Insider, insider.com. Download this piece. Share it with your friends, both in the pitch and in the boardroom. It's nice to talk to you, Karen. Thanks for your observations.
Thanks for having me.
Interesting piece.